The University of Wisconsin-Milwaukee plays a vital role in shaping the future of Milwaukee and Wisconsin. UWM's diversity, academic excellence, and major public research contribute to the region's economic development and quality of life. Meet the people behind the creativity and discoveries at UWM today. Here's the host of UWM Today, Tom Lujak, Vice Chancellor for University Relations and Communications.
Life on a college campus is filled with rich and varying experiences that help shape the lives of the students. One aspect of college life that can create lasting memories is a school's athletic program. On this edition of UWM Today, we meet the new leader of athletics at UWM, Amanda Braun, who recently became director of the athletic program. Welcome, Amanda. Good to have you with us today, and welcome back to Wisconsin. You are a Wisconsinite at heart.
Yes, yeah. Well, thanks for having me, Tom. It's great to be here, and great to be here in Milwaukee, and just finished my first month last week. So
hard to believe. Hard to believe. Yeah. Well, let's talk a little bit about your past, because your life in athletics really was based back here in the Badger State.
Yeah, yep, that's right. I grew up in Broadhead, Wisconsin.
Not a big town, a small town.
No, about 3,000 people, and a little south of Madison, 30 minutes or so. Great community to grow up in, wonderful people and community support. So not a big place, not a whole lot to do, but a lot of sports and activity outside. So I kind of took up most sports that I was able to participate in and wound up falling in love with the sport of basketball.
And did pretty well.
Yeah. It was a fun high school experience, and then was able to take advantage of a college experience in athletics as well, and went on to Siena College to participate in the sport of basketball.
Wow. So at what point did you realize in your life that in addition to playing sports, in your case, being very, very good at basketball, at what point did you realize, gee, I'd like to kind of be in charge of the operation and not be only on the floor?
Yeah, well, I stumbled into athletics as a career. I never did consider it necessarily working directly in athletics. I really was interested in physical therapy when I moved into college. And by the time that I finished my undergraduate program, I was pre-physical therapy, I had decided that wasn't the path I wanted to take. So wandered into law school at Duke University, and really enjoyed that education, but knew I didn't want to practice law. So while I was at Duke, I had a contracts law professor, John Wiestart, who actually asked, he was asking me about my career in my first semester, what I wanted to do. And, you know, I really didn't know, but he had known that I was a college athlete and had asked me if I'd ever thought about pursuing a career in sport. And I said, well, I don't, you know, I'm not really interested in being an agent or litigating Title IX, so I don't know, you know, what else in sports. And he said, well, have you thought about getting your master's degree in athletic administration? And my response was, you can go to school for that? I mean, I really didn't know. It was 1996, and I didn't know that you could get a degree in athletic administration. So obviously it was before all the programs that exist now began, or most of them. And he said, yep, the University of North Carolina, right in Chapel Hill down the road, has one of the best programs in the country, and maybe you ought to take a look at it. So I did, and I'm a proud law school dropout as a result of that decision, which was a good one for me at the time. Yeah, although I did get some experience in Duke at Duke in athletics, and wound up in the University of North Carolina's master's program, and found myself a home in that career path, and I've never regretted that decision. So.
What is it about running an athletic program that that attracted you?
You know, being in athletics and on a campus, for me, college athletics is where I want to be. I've never even considered any other level because higher education is such a great place to work, and seeing the impact you have on young people as they transition from a very unknown state to pursuing their dreams and their career path. So we get to do that in athletics alongside the education in the classroom. We're also there with them as they take on leadership roles in a different avenue, and that's a lot of fun too. So I guess for me, it just kind of evolved over the years that I have the skill set and really the desire to continue and to be a leader in college athletics.
Well, we talked about your roots being here in Wisconsin. You were born here and went to grade school, high school here. After you got your master's at North Carolina, you came back to Wisconsin again, this time to work up in Green Bay.
Yeah, at the rival school. It was a
at the Phoenix,
yeah,
UW Green
right.
Bay, part
that's
of the Horizon
right.
League, which
yes,
of course
yeah.
is the same league or conference that Milwaukee is in.
Yep, that's correct, and still some good friends up there. The director of athletics, Ken Butoff, is a good friend, and he and I had a wonderful time working there at Green Bay. It was fortunate timing that I was finishing my master's program right as a position opened up there at Green Bay. So going home, and that's about 3 hours from home, so it was still a little bit further away than we are now here, but a great opportunity for me to learn and grow and take on responsibilities. And
you served as associate athletic director.
I did, yep. I progressed over the nearly 7 years I was there, title-wise and responsibilities, and it solidified for me that being at this level of college athletics, and when I say this level, I don't mean anything to diminish where we are, but certainly not at the bigger, what they call bowl subdivision schools. I really enjoy the personal connection that you can have with coaches and students and campus at this level. So that solidified that for me at Green Bay.
And then back out east, your sort of last stepping stone before you ended back here in Milwaukee was at Northeastern University.
Yeah, that's correct. Yeah, that was a good opportunity for me to be at a different type of institution. They did have football. It was more of it was what they know as double A or football championship subdivision. And so it was a little different level, the Colonial Athletic Association, and gave me some new opportunities and new responsibilities there. And again, grew over about 7 years and enjoyed that experience. Had the opportunity to supervise football, which is fairly unique for female athletic administrators for some reason, but it was enjoyable. And Boston's only a 2-hour flight from Milwaukee. And so being relatively close, and in this business you need to go to grow, and sometimes that means being away from family, but it was only a 2-hour flight, so it was a fairly easy trip to visit and get close to family.
And then this spring you landed the big gig, the number one job at UW-Milwaukee.
Yeah, it's I've said it a couple different times, and you know, people use the phrase dream job, and I guess I would consider that because every day I wake up and I think, wow, I'm still doing this. This is really
they
everything.
They pay you to do this.
Yeah,
isn't that
this
cool?
is everything, right? This is all of it. It's being home. It's being at the level of athletics that I really enjoy and that is true with my values. And then being in a great city like Milwaukee with the staff that we have and an institution that I have a great deal of respect for, since my time at Green Bay. So it's just timing's everything, and taking advantage of opportunities.
When you were appointed as athletic director here in Milwaukee, a number of people commented, there were media reports saying that you were really one of the few number of women leading athletic programs at Division I schools in the country. Does it surprise you in this day and age that there aren't many more women like you who are athletic directors?
Yeah, I guess surprise is a way to describe it. It's a little bit disappointing, and for me at this stage in my career, trying to determine why that is and to do something about it. And as I decided to pursue the leadership role in college athletics, I knew that if I wasn't happy with that statistic, that I needed to do something about it. I couldn't I couldn't complain about it, and I wanted to complain about it. So it's something that it's a passion for me to try to encourage young women to consider this as a career path and determine why it is that we don't have more women. There's a lot of terrific, talented, committed women out there that are natural leaders.
You pick up any news magazine these days, it seems, and certainly regularly in the newspaper, you see stories that ask some pretty tough questions about college athletics these days. It is not at all uncommon for pontificators to say, well, too much money going into college athletics, or that the priorities are wrong if a university has a big athletic program. How do you respond to that sort of criticism when you hear it?
Athletics adds so much value to a campus beyond just being something to rally around for students and alumni. It's a good investment by the institution to have campus life and to engage with the community. And, you know, we have been looking at recent research. I shared a little bit of it with you today that as a product of the institution's budget, athletics is a pretty not a really big investment of resources. I think we're right in the 2% category, which is a pretty good investment given what you return on. We have wonderful student athletes who compete at a high level in the classroom and graduate and go on to do great things. So they become ambassadors for an institution, and I think that's a worthwhile investment for us.
Who benefits more by having an athletic program? The athletes who are out on the court or on the track or in the pool performing, or the rest of the student body who surround this rather select group, certainly at the Division I level, of performers?
Certainly the student athletes themselves benefit from that experience. And students generally, I think, when student athletes on campus become leaders and can be a model for what it is to be a student and managing time and dealing with injury often and perseverance through difficult stretches and seasons, that they can be a role model for what it takes to be successful beyond their years in college. So I think the influence that student athletes have is a real benefit to the students generally, and the student athletes themselves certainly benefit.
And what about the school spirit angle? At the beginning of the program, I talked about how some of the most memorable moments can be tied in either directly or indirectly to the athletic program that is part of the institution where you go to school. Is that the case everywhere?
Yeah, I mean, you want it to be. There are lots of things to do on campuses and in communities that many of our institutions reside in. But athletics can be something that a lot of students enjoy and engage in outside of the classroom activities with their peers. And so you do hope that we contribute in our way. And I recognize that it's one of hopefully many opportunities that students have to enjoy their time outside of the classroom on a campus.
You're listening to UWM Today here on WUWM. Good to have you with us this week. Joining us in the studio is Amanda Brown. Amanda is the relatively new athletic director at UW Milwaukee, joined us this spring, and we're talking both about her new role here in Milwaukee, leading the Panther athletic team, but also some broader questions about the state of college athletics. Amanda, you come to Milwaukee at a time after a few years of some bumpiness in the athletic program in terms of a number of athletic directors having served, and now you find yourself in that hot chair. Does that make you nervous at all? Does it make you more eager to go ahead and jump into this job, knowing that it hasn't been an entirely smooth flight for the university or the athletic program the last few years?
Yeah, I don't think it makes me nervous. I think as a former athlete, you enjoy challenge, and naysayers often add fuel to your fire. So that's okay. I don't mind that people may be doubtful, because I think when we commit ourselves and message the right way and begin to make progress, and that's important. You know, the stops and starts, I don't think that the challenges that are there are necessarily that they have anything to do with the university or the department. They were unique circumstances, and we now, I think, have a wonderful opportunity to stabilize and grow in a way that, truly hasn't happened. And the success that's sustained over time, regardless of the leadership change, is a testament to the people in that department. And I've enjoyed spending a lot of time with them and getting to know them so that we can all know one another and enjoy our time as we grow and plan for success and then experience that continued success.
Well, you talk about the success that has existed in terms of the student athletes and the coaches. I think that may be one of the lesser told or lesser known stories in Milwaukee athletic circles, and that is that the Panthers have gone ahead and fielded some amazing talent on the court or on the field or the pool.
Yeah, certainly. We just achieved this spring our 117th and 118th Horizon League championships with men's track and field and baseball. So the success has gone on for quite some time. And in the classroom, you know, the 25th semester, I guess, we've figured out it's 25 in a row now where collectively our student athletes have achieved a 3.0 grade point average, which is just really impressive given all the time we require of them as Division I athletes.
Horizon League, mid-major conference. Years ago, a lot of people said mid-majors, you know, have a lot of fun out there. They put an entertaining product on the floor, but when it comes to scaling up against the Dukes or the North Carolinas, some schools in your background that you just can't get the level of or talent or that amazing capacity to get those very peak performances. But that all sort of went out the window a few years ago when Butler came along and suddenly started kicking everybody's butt, mm-hmm. pardon the pun, mm-hmm. In Division I basketball.
Yeah.
Surprising?
Not in that sport. I think in that sport, you know, there's the roster size is such, and there are so many talented athletes out there in that sport coming up through high school and through the AAU programs that you can really get a run going. And, you know, our baseball program was undefeated against the Big Ten this spring, and I think it was three or four opponents that we beat. So you can certainly do that. You have to be very strategic about the way you utilize your resources. The bells and whistles that some of those bigger schools have, you don't necessarily invest in the way they do. But when you recruit appropriately and can get what you need to be successful, students that personal experience resonates with, and you do have what it takes to be successful resource-wise, you know, they'll come and you can really get a run.
Well, and not only do the good players come if you put together the right kind of program, but the fans come. A few years ago when the men's and the women's basketball teams at UWM were really, really clicking, they were in the tournament several years in a row, Sweet 16. That was pretty heady stuff, and it did rub off on alumni and members of the community.
Yeah, I've heard from our alumni relations office that those years were very, very good years in terms of getting people to come out and participate in events. And so certainly it can have a great impact, not only right on your campus, but in your community and your alumni base, wherever they are. They want to, you know, be a part of that. So it certainly can be a lot of fun, and we're hoping to get back to that.
What does it take to maintain that peak performance level that gets you into not just into the tournament, but even pretty deep into the tournament?
Yeah, you know, it takes good people. It takes, I think, people that understand what you need to put in place and stay focused on what's important. It's easy to get distracted with things that maybe aren't as impactful on your success. But if you can stay focused on the things that have the greatest impact and make sure you're pulling those levers, if you will, that's the most important thing. So trying to get everyone to think in that way is really a little bit tricky. But once they start to see it, it can be pretty transformative.
And then some luck also doesn't
hurt. Oh, certainly. Yeah, absolutely. Right.
As you take a look at some of the challenges facing collegiate athletics these days, money certainly has to be at the top of everyone's list. There are very, very few programs in the country that are breaking even these days, even with really big schools with big time draws or marquee sports like football. Why is that? Why is it so tough to be in the black if you're running a collegiate program?
You know, I can speak to our level. I'm pretty intimately aware of budgets because that's been a part of my role for quite a few years here. You're smart about the way that you spend your money, as I talked about. So I can only guess at other institutions. They're spending a great deal more money than we are at UWM. And so would they make money if they spent less money on certain things? They certainly would profit. What's challenging is that you can't unilaterally make some of those decisions to not build the Taj Mahal buildings because the people you're recruiting against are doing that. So that's a tricky part of the escalation issue that we have right now in college athletics, that there's no way to do it across the board because those that have the money want to spend it so that they can maximize their success.
And of course, a lot of times the fans themselves have a pretty loud voice and a lot to say about whether the Taj Mahals should be built or not.
Yeah. Everybody, you know, I mean, if you're an alum of an institution, you want to see them be the best and win. And there's, you know, that's okay. That's if that's what they choose to do. But I do think that that's probably part of the reason why there isn't revenues over expenses a lot of those places, because they're spending those dollars as they probably feel they need to.
And of course, it's all driven at the end of the day by what the students want and what those alumni want to see when they come out to a game.
Yeah, sure. Yep, I think so. And that's not lost at our level either. We want to make sure we're doing our part to engage our community and serve the students and be a truly integrated a part of our university.
You know, one of the other criticisms that you hear, and it almost always bubbles up again around the NCAA basketball tournament time, and that is the notion of whether or not the students who are performing on the court ought to be paid for their appearances. A lot of controversy. Some people saying, no, keep it pure, keep it, you know, amateur. That's what collegiate sports should be. And others are saying, well, wait a minute. You know, these young men and women, if it weren't for them, there wouldn't be anybody turning that turnstile and buying all of those hats and shirts and jerseys and the like. Do you have an opinion yet on what should be done with reimbursing college athletes beyond room and board?
Yeah. You know, I played at a smaller Division I level and received a scholarship, and I found great value in that, being able to get an education. And, you know, I put my time in for that, you know, obviously. But I think the model in higher education is that there are components of an institution that pay for other components of the institution. And that's the way athletics is in college, is there are parts of the athletic department that generate revenue to pay for the other athletic programs. So it's the higher education model. You know, we are a nonprofit. This is not a for-profit venture. You know, the other part of it is, I think, the restrictions that the NBA and the NFL in particular have on their leagues is too bad. Because I think if students want to, out of high school, pursue those opportunities, they should be able to. And
because right now you're banned or prohibited if you're a high school graduate from walking directly into the NFL.
That's correct, right? And they have their reasons, and that's okay. But what then happens? And this is on a very small band of students that could actually go on to do that. But the argument is always that, well, you know, it's you know, their labor, but. But for me, I know that students, even out of high school in the sport of basketball, could go to Europe, you know, if they wanted to play right out of high school. So the idea that somehow they don't have options isn't true. You know, they do have other options if they really wanted to go and make money off of their sport.
How many college athletes that you've seen over the years, how many of them believe that they could play at a professional level or perform at a professional level? Do a lot of kids who get into a collegiate program walk in with that dream and you know, really push for it, or are a lot of them logical thinking clearly and saying, odds maybe not so good.
Yeah, you know, that's an interesting point, because when you're an athlete, you want to believe you can achieve at the highest level. You don't, you know, it's Tim Tebow right now. He wants to be a quarterback in the NFL. And what got him to success at Florida is that he was, he pushed, he had that mentality, and maybe now he's coming up short. The NCAA did some research. Roughly 70% of all men's basketball college athletes in Division I believe they have at least some chance of moving on to play professionally. The actual percentage is something like less than 1% that actually do that. So, you know, some of that's our fault, I think. Society, the AAU programs, what are we putting into those kids' heads to make them believe that?
Brass ring is so shiny, isn't it, when you are looking at what could be. You go get out of college and, you know, or not even finish college, you know, in the NBA, not uncommon for some really, really exceptional young people to be making millions of dollars when they're 19, 20 years old.
Sure. And you want to encourage people to pursue those dreams, just at the same time make sure that they're planning for their future outside of athletics as well.
Are you satisfied that generally speaking, students who are in collegiate athletic programs are walking out prepared to have a life outside of athletics?
Speaking from the institutions that I have worked for, absolutely. I think they come out with leadership ability. They come out with, again, the perseverance and resiliency and the ability to manage their time and work as a team member. Those are all things that you don't necessarily get in the classroom. And so we do. I think we produce wonderful people who are prepared for a life of fulfillment and achievement beyond their years in college.
And, of course, they bring those memories and those friendships and relationships with them for the rest of their life.
Yeah, that's right. And it goes so fast, you know, it really does. And you got to keep reminding them that to make sure they make the most of that experience. And, for years after, they'll be sharing those memories with their teammates at reunions or wherever they might be.
Just a minute or two left. As you take a look at this next year, you've finished a whole month on the job, so you've got a few more to be before you get to your first anniversary. What would you hope would be your accomplishment a year from now?
You know, in a year, I hope that I'm looking around and seeing people within our department feeling very good about what they're doing, feeling like the earth underneath them has stopped kind of moving, and that our students are enjoying their experience and we're making progress on helping them achieve the level of success that they have achieved to this point and even grow on that. So, we're gonna look to stabilize our budget. We're going to look for new revenue streams. I think we've got some real opportunity there. And then explore our facilities challenges. And I think we're going to be able to make some progress on those things as well.
And, of course, facilities, big question mark at a place like Milwaukee, landlocked. So you've got to find places to expand and build.
Yeah. Yep. Being in an urban environment, being on a campus within a city, you certainly have those restrictions, but partnerships within the community and people that want to achieve the same things is the way you need to approach that.
Well, we wish you the very best as you move forward as the new leader of Panther Athletics, and we'll have you back from time to time to give us an update on how that program develops and the changes that we might expect 5-10 years down the road.
Yeah, I will look forward to that. Yeah, thanks for having me.
You bet. Amanda Braun, the new athletic director at UW-Milwaukee, our guest on this edition of UWM Today. Well, that's all for this week's program. We'll see you next week at the same time. Thanks for taking a few minutes to learn about some of the great people and programs that UWM has to offer. Take care, everybody. I'm Tom Lujack.
You've been listening to UWM Today, the weekly program where you meet the faculty, staff, and students at the University of Wisconsin-Milwaukee who help make a difference in the lives of people in southeastern Wisconsin through their teaching, research, and community service. To learn more about UWM, go online to uwm.edu.